Josh, what did you do?
All right, let's see here. It just so happened that a long time ago, I was in Łódź, Poland, by myself with Magda, and Steve and Gosha had moved to Warsaw, and he was looking to team up or pair up with somebody. So it just so happened that Steve and Gosha decided to move to Łódź, and after a couple of years of being in Łódź, we just so happened to decide that we wanted to move to another city. And it just so happened that we decided to move to Gdańsk. And it just so happened that Steve started teaching English at Berlitz. And it just so happened that he taught the curator of the Museum of World War II History. And it just so happened that at this time he and Gosha decided that they need to move back to Warsaw. And it just so happened that while in Warsaw, he again started teaching English. And it just so happened that a certain individual, president of a country, who just so happened to have been the curator of the World War II History Museum in Gdańsk, just so happened to hear that Steve Dalros is teaching English in Warsaw. And it just so happened that the president of some country said, I want him. Wow, it just so happened, right? Just so happened. Mm-hmm. Did I hear you say that you won a beauty pageant?
No. That's funny.
You said I became the queen. I was just an orphan, and I became a queen. I read that story, and in that story, you won a beauty pageant. I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah.
I knew something was wrong about that story. Steve can win a lot of things, not a beauty pageant. His feet are beautiful. His feet are beautiful. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Just a couple of things about Poland. We're currently working with Brian and Judy. They too have very, very beautiful feet. Spiritual feet. His feet, physically, not very beautiful, but spiritual feet. Wow, amazing. Yeah, so we're very, very, very blessed to have Brian and Judy with us. Such a great example. A go-getter, never hesitates to respond to any challenge whatsoever. If you guys are interested, Matthew Bowman's right back there. He can confirm it. If you want to see a very interesting video, see me after the service. I'll show you that this guy's a real man. He did something that hardly any of us in the auditorium will dare do. He almost died. He almost died. It involves winter. It involves an iceberg. It involves him getting in to the water. So anyways, we've had a blast. You guys know Brian. He's a faithful man. He's a very wise man, and I very much cherish his counsel and the blessing that he is. He never says no to anything good. He says no to evil all the time. But he never says no to any work that has to be done, because he sincerely loves the Lord and wants to invest in his ministry. So we've been working in Gdynia for just under 2 years now. We have by the Lord's grace, we have some people coming out, very, very sweet people. We have a couple of families, one family and some others. And it seems like everybody wants to be involved in the work. We don't have anybody that's out on the street preaching with us regularly. One brother comes out from time to time, but as far as the ministry in the church, alluding to Magda's illustration, we don't have anybody drinking lattes or eating pastries, reading a book in the corner somewhere. Everybody's active in the church. This family member that I was telling you about, they're both very, very heavily involved in recording videos and YouTube and putting things on YouTube and Instagram and what have Facebook and things like that. And so whenever they came to our church, they said, look, we don't really see ourselves out on the street. We're not that kind of people at this point. Can we take part in the recording of the messages and putting them online? Yeah, sure, absolutely. So he got his camera out. He started recording the messages. He didn't like the background. He says it's too plain. So he built a beautiful background. He didn't like the way that some of the videos are coming out. So he spends eight hours working on each sermon that's recorded. 8 hours out of his time. You know, he works full time, but he spends 8 hours trying to get the video really looking nice. And so we appreciate that. Special prayer request for the church in Gdańsk. They're doing well. You know, we have ups and downs. They're just in one of those times. Thomas, he's a brother in our church. He got saved. And when he got saved, he was in the process of getting divorced, and it was a real ugly divorce. Unfortunately, they have two sons. And the wife, she's a very wicked person, just vile. And I really appreciate what some of you guys have said during the prayer meetings in the mornings. All of you prayed for her to be saved. And if you knew her story, you would understand probably why I'm surprised, because our thought was like, all right, Lord, just get her out of the picture. You know, that was our thinking. But you guys are faithful, and I appreciate your clarity and your perspective. You guys prayed that the Lord save her. And there's no case that is too difficult for the Lord to save. I think the Apostle Paul is the proof. But anyways, he's having a court case tomorrow. And she's trying to force him not to be able to bring his kids to church. And so the court hearing is tomorrow, so we pray for ask prayers for Thomas. His name is Thomas, and his court case is tomorrow. Also, the one of the brothers in Gdańsk, who's a preacher, he's a street preacher, he also preaches in our church. His name is Chris. He's the gangster. We've talked about him before. Last year he had what turned out to be epilepsy, and so he's had very severe attacks and memory loss and just some very, very, very serious health situations. And apparently with epilepsy, I don't know. I was around Steve for a long time, but I still don't know. Apparently the medication, it has to be regulated, and until they can find the right dosage and the right medicine, it's just hit or miss. And so he's been going through some hard times. So pray for him at this point. He decided that he's not going to be preaching for us. And so that was a downer for the church. They're quite discouraged because he's a good part of, he's a good brother, faithful brother, a lot of zeal and a good testimony. A sister, an elderly sister, her name is Selena. Celine, I guess, would be in English. Her mom passed away last week. She was, as far as we can tell, she was unsaved. And so please pray for Selena. Also, another sister, her name is Bojena. Her mom is elderly and she's dying. We ask prayers for her. She's not saved either. All right, if you want, you can open up to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. Amen. If you want to, I don't mind. I will open the Bible to John, chapter 10. Because I found out this morning there are more books than Nehemiah. So I'm going to be in Nehemiah. I'm going to be in John. You can go wherever you want. I'm going to be in John, chapter 10. All right. And I'm going to read from verse 19 all the way to verse 30. John chapter 10, starting at verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Again, just very quickly, because Jesus said in chapter 8, he says, I am. He says, I am Jehovah. And the Jews really didn't like that. So again, they're upset, and they say, Once again, there was a division. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He had told them in chapter 8, I am. That's very clear, right? Anyways, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the love, for the grace, for the mercy that you show in our daily lives. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the freedom and peace in our country. We thank you that we can serve you without being persecuted. We can gather together without any danger to our lives, to our livelihoods, to our families. And this is your grace. It's not anything that our forefathers did. It's not anything that we deserve. It's not anything that we fought for. It's your grace. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful grace. We thank you also that your word has been translated into our language, that we can read your word, we can know you, because you thought it necessary, you thought it right to give us Americans your word. And we are so, so grateful, and we appreciate it. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for each and every member of it. I thank you for every man, every woman, every child that's here tonight. I pray your richest blessings in all of us. I pray that you'll give us a true and lasting, enduring blessing. I pray, Heavenly Father, as we open up your word and we talk about a couple of things, I pray that everything said will be said in spirit and in truth. I pray that you'll prepare my heart, our hearts, to follow your word, to be obedient to your word, and to be doers of your word. And I ask for an outpouring of your spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'll give us abundant fruit. I pray that you'll give us not only 30 or 60, but I pray, Lord, that you'll give us 100-fold for our labor. And Lord, we bring this prayer and this request to you, knowing that there is nothing impossible for you. You're a God at whose right hand are untold, manifold pleasures. And so, Lord, our heart is to please you. Our desire is to seek you and to serve you and to please you. And Lord, we ask that you take our lives and do with us as you please, and we will be your most glad servants. And we thank you for all these things and pray, ask for them in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be focusing today on the last phrase that's found in verse 22, and it says, and it was winter. But I just want to give a little bit of context to what we read, because the Bible says that Jesus was found himself in Jerusalem, and it was the dedication. This is nothing else but Hanukkah. If you know the story, it's a beautiful, it's a very interesting story. There might be a little bit of superstition involved in it, maybe not, I don't know, but apparently whenever one of the Israelis, his name was Judah Maccabee, I think it was his name, he was in an uproar because the Syrian king, he had taken a, can you imagine this, an image of Zeus, he put it in the temple there in Jerusalem. Can you imagine taking the Virgen de Guadalupe and putting it right here? Like, can you imagine what would happen? We'd be so upset. But this guy, he took an image of Zeus and put it right in the middle of the temple. And then he forced the Jews to sacrifice a pig on the altar. And we all know that this is like really, really not okay. Can you imagine somebody standing up here and reading out of the Quran? I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's something like, no, you don't do it. And so Judah, he was like, no, that's not okay. So he started a fight, and he expelled the Syrian king. And whenever they went to purify, to cleanse the temple, they found just enough oil for one day. And so they started burning it, and it burnt for 8 days, 8 straight days, you know. That's their tradition, that's the history behind it. And that's why Hanukkah is celebrated for 8 days. And they celebrate it in different, it's not a set date. It's not like in our tradition, in our culture, where we might celebrate Christmas or something like that, where it's always on the 25th or the 24th. It might be as early as late November, as late as, you know, late December. Anyways, Jesus, our Lord, he was in Jerusalem during the celebration. Now, Moses didn't write about it. It wasn't a quote unquote Christian celebration, but Christ was there. He was in the city because of this feast, because of this dedication, because of this holiday. I just say that because we as Bible teachers, as Bible believers, we might have our opinions and we might have our persuasions and our convictions, and we need to use Bible reasoning in order to defend them and not twist the scriptures. Christ celebrated something that wasn't given from Moses. If you celebrate something or refuse to celebrate something, that's fine. I don't care. It's not my business. You do whatever you want. But don't say that we can only do things that are written in Scripture, that are given command from in Scripture. We see Jesus here. He's in Jerusalem. It's wintertime. He's part of this feast. He's celebrating the dedication or the cleansing of the temple. And I find it interesting that the author goes out of his way to say that it's winter. Now, it was winter. The seasons, they're very reflective of our different stages in our life. We've all heard of the term that something or someone might spring to life, right? Spring to life. It comes, it starts growing, it starts developing, it starts growing, it's becoming more and more popular, it's bigger, it's trendy, something like, we've all heard the term, I'm sorry brother, everybody always picks on you, right? If I said, Brother Lindell is no spring chicken, what does this mean? It means he shouldn't be up here in the first row when Mike is preaching, right? He's a young man. He's a little bit green. Well, he's not. He's not green behind the ears, right? He's not. So we talk about spring being newness of life and the new beginnings and just green, right? We talk about summer. The summer sun, it's at its fullest, it's highest in the sky, it's strong. We talk about if young people, mid-20s, they're strong, they're full of energy, anything is possible. The days are longer, the nights are shorter, life is developing, and it's strength. We talk about fall or autumn, whenever things start to change. The hair color starts to change. You start carrying around WD-40 with you for the squeaks. Click, click, you know, something clicks. You spray WD-40. I am a young man. Yes, Magda, thank you very much. I do CrossFit 5 times a week for like 5 years now. I, young spring chicken, getting out of bed, simply getting out of bed, strained my shoulder. I don't know how that happens, but it does, you know. Things start to change. You start noticing differences in your life. Unfortunately, you know, you get up several times at night.
Several.
Yeah. But we haven't gone to winter yet. hold on. but yeah, you see some differences in your life. You know, things that didn't bother you before, now they do bother you, right? So the seasons are very descriptive of our lives. And winter is a time that God says, stop. No more. Everything dies. No more leaves on the trees. Everything dies. Everything freezes. Everything gets really, really cold. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and they ask him a question. How long dost thou make us to doubt? How long are you going to be playing games with us? How long are you, like Magda said before, God is very clear and he's very transparent. How long are you going to be, toying with us? In chapter 9, Jesus Christ had just healed a man that was born blind. I don't know if that means anything to you or not, but to the people that were around this man, for the blind man that was healed, his illness and his situation was very peculiar, because he said, he gave testimony himself, since the world began, nobody has ever heard of any situation in which a man born blind was healed. It never happened. And so Jesus Christ did something that Moses didn't do, that Elijah didn't do, that the kings didn't do, that any of the prophets. Jesus Christ did the impossible. And they all knew it. They all saw it. They all witnessed it. Nobody could deny it. And they asked him still, are you the Messiah? Is it you? Now, what I want to get across this evening is that they didn't know because of a lack of evidence. Jesus Christ gave them multitude of witnesses and multitude of examples and works. And so the evidence wasn't the problem. The problem was very, very simple. They refused to believe. They absolutely refused to believe the works that Jesus Christ had shown them. Works that no man had done before. So it's not a matter of evidence. We have a guy in our church in Gdańsk. His name is Jarek, older fella. No spring chicken. He's been coming for 3 or 4 years. Refuses to believe. Refuses to believe. He says, if God would just show me a sign, if God would just appear and tell me, then I would believe. God has given him enough evidence, enough proof. A man came out of the grave out of his own mind. Jesus Christ resurrected. That's more than enough proof. But because he doesn't see it, because he can't touch it, because he can't be a part of it, because he can't witness it, he refuses to believe. That's what I want to hone in on. Refusing to believe. Not that you can't believe, but that you won't believe.
Amen.
These Jews refused to believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, was the Savior. They refused to believe despite all of the evidence, despite all of the works. And so the Bible tells us that the season was winter. And I want to tell you, for them, for the Jews and for Jerusalem, it was a spiritual winter. Amen. It was the end of the line for them. Jesus Christ literally had a few days left. And he actually said, he says, I'm going to go away and you're going to seek me and you're not going to find me. And where I'm going, you will not be able to come.
Right.
Why? Because winter came and they weren't ready for it. The thing about winter is that before winter arrives, you have to prepare. If winter catches you unprepared, you die. You, like, not symbolically, not like, you literally die if you're unprepared for winter. I think San Antonio had an example several years ago where you had a unusually harsh winter and many people died because what do San Antonians know about winter, right? How are we supposed to know? So I want to talk to you today about two things about this winter. First of all, winter must come. It must come. And second of all, you can't ignore winter. It's going to come, and you can't ignore it. First of all, I don't know many people, I don't know, maybe here, maybe, I don't know many people who actually like winter. Shut up. Brian, when he first came, he was tempting God. He was like, I want to come to Poland. I want to know two things. I want to prove two things. I want to prove that Polish isn't as hard as you guys all say it is. And I want to prove that the winter isn't as bad, isn't as cold as you guys say it is. And so he quickly realized that Polish is a whole lot harder than we had mentioned. It's a whole lot harder than we had explained. And the first winter, it was very, very mild. And so he started boasting and bragging and mocking us and saying, you guys are a bunch of sissies. You can't holler anything. I was in Alaska. Oh, my goodness. I heard the Alaska story like a billion times. And so he tempted God. And he says, I want a real winter. Well, last winter, we got the real winter. And he says, I want to go home. Nobody who actually goes through a real winter likes winter. But it doesn't matter if you like it or not. Who cares? Who cares if you like winter or dislike winter? Who cares if you think the falling snowflakes are just the most wonderful thing you've ever seen, or just an incredible annoyance? Who cares? It comes whether you like it or not. You know, the funny thing about traveling here is that we have to buy airline tickets. And you know what I've noticed? The airlines, they can be late. It doesn't really matter. They're late and they'll make you wait. But you know what? It doesn't work the other way around. Have you ever been late? You know what? I just wanted to enjoy my latte and my cake a little bit longer, so put me on the next flight. No. Because some things happen whether you want them to happen to you or not. If you're late, you have to buy another ticket. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 27, it says, as it is appointed unto men, once to die, but after this, the judgment. So in the matters of death, you're at most passive. Maybe you want to remain strong. Maybe you like summer and you enjoy the fact that you're strong and full of energy and full of life and full of ideas and full of dreams. God says winter is coming. Yeah. And you have no choice, no say in the matter. Whenever winter comes, whenever I decide, whenever I appoint the time, it's that time, and I don't care how badly you desire to live, I don't care how well you train your body, I don't care how many glutens you eat or don't eat, or lactose you drink or don't drink, or any of that other stuff, whenever I say it's time, you're finished. Winter comes, whether you like it or not, whether you enjoy it or not, whether you're prepared for it or not. Winter comes because God has appointed the times and the seasons. It's God's appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die. Every one of us has an appointment. Every one of us has a winter that's coming. Winter must come. You know what I noticed about winter living in Poland? It limits our opportunities. Yeah. Winter in Poland means that it gets light around 8 o'clock, especially in Gdańsk, because we're further north. It gets light around 8 o'clock, and it gets dark around 2:30 in the afternoon. 2:30 in the afternoon. 2:30 p.m. 3 o'clock, it's pitch black, like outside right now. No, we're talking about real winter country. Brother Brian mentioned about John chapter 9, verse 4, while it's day. You know, winter shortens your opportunity. It was winter. The Jews, they had just a few days. They didn't have 3.5 years. They didn't have an overabundance of time and patience of God. They didn't have God's mercies. They didn't have God's goodwill anymore. They had just a few days. It was winter. They were just about to die. Jesus had actually told them, you guys are going to die, because it was winter. Winter was quickly approaching. Winter limits your opportunities. It limits your possibilities. It limits what you can actually do. The days are shorter.
Right.
My wife and I and our kids, we were going to church one Wednesday night. Just left the house, made a turn, and just as we turn, this man in his car, he ran over a woman and killed her instantly. Her head hit the curb and she lied there motionless on the ground. He stopped, got out of the car, just looked, sat back in his car, middle of the street, hands in his head, weeping. Winter came for her. Now, she wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary. She had just gotten home from work. She had just left work. I'm sorry. She had just left work. She was crossing the street. And in Poland, you always cross at the crosswalk. And she was following the law. She was following the rules. She was doing a good job. She was just being a good citizen. And winter came for her. Because winter never asks, are you ready? Do you want to go? Do you like winter? Winter just comes and takes. And about 3 or 4 minutes later, another man was coming, walking up. And as he approached, he started moving a little bit faster. And as he got closer, he started running. And as he started to run, he started screaming, no, 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 no. It was her husband. He left 5 minutes after her. He had to do some things at the work. And he walked up and he found his wife there. He looked over, he saw the driver. And he says, did you do this to her? And he was approaching her. I intervened, other people. No, 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 this isn't what you want to do. Just sit down. Winter came for him. He wasn't ready. Winter didn't ask him if he was ready to sacrifice his wife. Winter doesn't ask questions. Are you ready? Do you want her? It comes regardless of what you think, of what you do. It's coming. It has to come. It's something that we're sure of. Death is the surest thing in life. Winter is an absolute certainty. The Jews, again, I just want to bring this question back to you, back to mine. They say, how long dost thou make us doubt? How long are you going to make us wonder whether or not you're the Christ? How long are you going to cause this division among us? Show us proof. Show us evidence. Show yourself. Reveal yourself. If you're the Messiah, say so. If you're not, say so. Prove to us that you are who you say you are, or who the people say you are. Now, the book of John is peculiar because it was written that we might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so they had experienced, these Jews, these very same Jews had experienced, had seen with their own eyes, had heard with their own ears, the mighty, incredible works that Jesus Christ had done. And what? The Bible says that they refused to believe. They didn't refuse to see or to hear. They refused to believe. 10 verse 25. I told you, and ye believe not. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, is what Jesus said. And we've passed out tracts, and people have been saved through tracts. And yet, how many of us say, it's no good, no sense passing out tracts. They never saved anybody. Anybody here saved through a tract? There's one. There's two. There's three.
Amen.
Try telling them that passing out tracts doesn't make any sense. Stand up and tell Marty, you know what? Don't pass out tracts, Marty, because God never saves anybody through passing out tracts. Tell that to Marty. It's not that we haven't seen it. We haven't seen God move in our lives through passing out tracts. It's that we refuse to believe that God is going to bless that track. We've seen it happen. We say preaching on the street, nah, it's useless, it's pointless. Nobody listens anymore. Everybody's got their earbuds or headphones and listen to their podcast. Anybody here saved through the preaching of the gospel? Oh, there's a one. There's one. Tell that to Brian. No, don't preach. Don't preach. How did you come to church? How did you wind up here? Did you just suddenly like wake up one day and have this like this experience like, oh, I think I need to go to 602 Oaknell today for some reason. I don't know why, but I need to go there. What happened? How did you find yourself here? What drew you here? Somebody preached the gospel to you.
I got a track in the mail.
You got a track in the mail. Somebody got a track on the street. Somebody heard a street preacher. Somebody was witness to. Preaching the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Yet so many of us say, what's the use? What's the sense? Jesus Christ came physically demonstrating the power of God, and people said, I don't know. Look at the book of Isaiah with me right quick. Isaiah chapter 35. The Bible says in verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. This is precisely what Jesus Christ came doing. He healed the blind. He restored the hearing to the deaf. He restored the bound tongue to the mute. He gave strength to the legs. He purified the lepers. He rose the dead from the grave. He brought them out of their caskets as they're in the funeral procession. And he did all of these things publicly. Never did he do it in the corner. Never did he do it behind, you know, closed doors. He did everything publicly so that all of Israel might know. And all of Israel did know. Even the Bible says that the Gentiles, those Greeks from Tyre and Sidon, who had no business being around Christ, they heard of the marvelous things that Jesus Christ did. And they came to witness and to see what was going on. Wow, Jesus Christ did so many miracles, so many works of the Father. And they refused to believe. Look at Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ preached in Luke chapter 4 in that synagogue there. And he said, this day these words are fulfilled in your ears. He did all of these things. And they said, away with him. They wanted to push him off the cliff. Why? Because they hadn't seen the works of God? Because they hadn't been eyewitnesses of his majesty? Because they had only heard rumors? No, they'd seen it. They'd witnessed it. They refused to accept him. They refused to believe. We've seen the mighty power of God's right hand in our lives. We've seen it every single missions conference. We repeat stories of the past. Things that God has done for our church, for our ministries, for us, for our families. And we boast in these stories and we get so excited about these stories and we get so energized by these stories. And we, yes, yes, yes. And then whenever push comes to shove and it's time to do something about it, we say, no, send by another, not me, send him, send her, send them, not me. They refused to believe. And what happened? Winter came upon them. Winter is coming whether you want it or not. It must come. Final point. You cannot ignore winter. Maybe in Texas. But in a real country where they have real winters, you cannot ignore winter. It's not like you can leave your house and be surprised, like, oh, it's a little chilly. No. You walk out of your front door and whoom, your hands and your toes are starting to hurt. You look around you and it's real dark and there's like this thick cloud gray over the sky. And you're like, where is the sun? What happened to the sun? For 6 months, you can't see the sun because there's just like this cloud of gray passing the whole sky. People dress differently. Literally, they walk around like this. Hats, scarves, gloves, mittens, long johns. I see boys wear pantyhoses in wintertime. You know Poles? Literally, this is no joke. Polish women put pantyhoses on their little boys. Isn't that weird? Just some things should not be legal. I don't remember. I honestly don't remember if Magda ever put pantyhoses on my boys or not, on our boys or not. But I sure hope. If I don't remember, it's a good thing I don't remember that. Pantyhoses are for girls. You can't ignore it. You can't just like pretend. You go out to your car, now you open it, click, click, and it opens. You pull on the knob and it doesn't open. There's a layer of maybe an inch this past winter of ice all around the car. It's just one big ice. You can't ignore it. Winter cannot be ignored. You can't just pretend it doesn't exist. You can't psych yourself up so much and say, okay, I feel warm, I feel warm, I feel warm. It doesn't happen that way. Look at Jeremiah, please, chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. And then Look at verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. So Jeremiah had been preaching and saying, Nebuchadnezzar is coming because of your sin. Nebuchadnezzar is coming. Join him. Nebuchadnezzar was coming to destroy everything. And he preached, if you join Nebuchadnezzar, you'll save yourselves. But they refused to believe God's man, God's preacher. So they rebelled against him. They threw Jeremiah into a well and decided to flee to Egypt. Decided to fight. And because of that, winter came to this city, to this country, and they were not saved. Summer passed. All of their strength was gone. All of their hope and all of their desire. What is it that they said? We were never in bondage to any man. We are children of Abraham. We were never in bondage. How says that that the Son of Man can make us free indeed? They trusted God is on our side. They said, we are the children of Abraham. We're the children of Isaac. We're the children of Jacob. We were circumcised on the eighth day. We are the followers and disciples of Moses. God gave us the law and the prophets. We shall never be moved. Summer ended. The harvest was past and they were not saved. Their temple was destroyed. Their God was blasphemed. Their people dispersed throughout all of the world. Why? Because you can't ignore winter. It's coming. Winter was upon them. And they were not ready. Psalms 137. Psalms 137. Starting at verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, stop humming the song. There we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Summer, harvest was ended, summer was past, they were not saved. They refused to sing the Lord's song in their own land. Oh, they were very quick to sing songs to all of the other gods. Oh, they were very quick to set up idols and sacrifice their own children to all of these other gods. And when God said, follow me, when God said, believe me, when God said, trust me, when God said, separate yourselves unto me, they refused to. So God said, okay, I'm going to take you to a different land. Winter came upon them. There is the story of an individual in the book of Luke. He was rich. He had need of nothing. He ate, he sat, he drank, he did whatever. One day he died and he opened up his eyes and he said, Father Abraham, here is another man who was caught off guard by winter. He wasn't ready. He had everything he wanted. He had air conditioning home. He had a nice car. He had the dreams. He had the TV. He had everything. He had Instagram and he had an iPhone and he had all of the goodies. He lifted up his eyes in hell because winter came and he couldn't ignore it. He couldn't close his eyes to it. Why? What was the difference between him and the beggar? One believed and the other didn't. They both had the same evidence. They both had the same historical upbringing. They both had the same culture. One believed and one didn't. You see, it's not a matter of proof. It's not a matter of evidence. The evidence is there for all of us. We've all seen it. It's all the same. The question is, do you believe God? Do you believe the works that God has shown through Jesus Christ, through the disciples, through the Word? How long, he says, how long do you question? So let me wrap things up by reading in Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. Before I read it, 27 verse 12. Yatsik and I, Jack, who by the way sends his greetings. Jack and I had been preaching on Long Street there in Gdańsk several years ago. And there was a woman, she got a tract, she asked, "What is this?" And we started talking to her. She was probably, without exaggerating, probably in her early 90s. Very, very old woman, frail. She could hardly look up, but she did her best. "What is this about?" And both Jack and I tried, you know, preaching the gospel to her. And she couldn't comprehend. She couldn't understand anything. She was walking down the street. She had life. She was moving. She could hear. She didn't have a blind stick. She could see. She could hear us. She could talk with us. But her mind was gone. No, there was no reasoning with her. The leaves had already fallen. Her branches were bare. And she was just waiting for winter. I just assumed that this woman, when she was green behind the ears, when she was a spring chicken, I can only assume that there was a point in her life where God was calling out to her, because God calls out to all people. And she refused to believe. She said, "Later." She said, "Let's wait for summer." And I can only imagine that in summertime, she was too worried about going here and going there, doing this, doing that, experiencing this, trying out that. And she says, "I'll wait till autumn. I'll wait till fall." And before she realized it, winter came upon her. And we walked away from this conversation, Jack and I, thinking, can God save her? My conclusion was, it was too late for her. It was too late for this woman. We put it off thinking, you know, we still have spring and we still have summer, we still have fall, we have these different seasons, and we have to, you know, that sometimes winter comes early. Yep. You know, if we look at the calendar, yes, winter starts on the 21st of December and ends on the 20th or the 21st of March. And we follow this calendar, we say, this is how it works. So this is how it should be. And yes, we understand that winter comes to people in their 70s, in their 80s. This is the normal standard. But you know what? When did you go to Poland? 95, right? The first snow that we got that year was, from what I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, October. Maybe November. I remember for some reason October. I know for sure that we would go out during the Day of the Dead, and we'd go to the cemeteries, we'd pass our tracks, it was always snowing. For the Day of the Dead. This is the 1st, the 2nd of November. Technically it's autumn, but winter had already set in. You know, you can go to the cemetery. I don't know what cemeteries you got here. They're full of people that are younger than you guys. You know, you might be thinking to yourselves, well, I'll wait till I'm older. I'll wait till I'm more mature. I'll wait till I know a little bit more. Well, you don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow.
That's right.
You don't know. You don't have a guarantee that you're going to be as old as Brother Lindell. I don't know. You know, winter can... Don't we say brace ourselves for winter? We got to prepare for winter before winter hits. Before winter hits. So he says in verse 20, in chapter 12, 27, verse 12, he says, because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenis, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. So Paul and his company, they came to a haven, and they said, it's not a good place to winter here. Not every place is a good place to die in. If you die outside of Christ, this is not a good haven to winter in. If you die out, if you haven outside of Christ, you will perish eternally. So what Paul did and his company, they used any means necessary to get to a safe haven. Far away, lots of danger, very inconvenient, very, very costly, but they said, we want a haven in a place that's safe during the winter. Now, what exactly are you willing to sacrifice? What exactly are you willing to, how far are you willing to go to find your safe haven before winter? What are you willing to give up? Let me pose the question differently. Are you interested, you child of God, are you interested in revival? Do you want revival?
Yes, sir.
All right, four people are. Okay, praise the Lord. So, all right, so you answered. How bad do you want revival? What are you willing to sacrifice? If God comes and he says, I want this, I want that, are you willing to give it? You see, Paul and his company, they put themselves in danger in order to find real safety. They went through the difficulty to finding safe harbor, a safe haven, but they had to go through danger. Christ said, he put it this way, strive ye therefore to enter in at the straight gate. Strive. Now, a lot of us, we talk about wanting revival and wanting God's movement and wanting God's power and wanting to see God change our lives and do mighty things in us. But most of us are sitting here wondering, I wonder if the preacher is going to go more than 45 minutes. Well, and we always blame, well, the preacher isn't interesting enough. Okay. You've all heard of Jonathan Edwards, right? Jonathan Edwards? What was that message that he preached? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Now, how long do you think his message lasted for? How interesting was his message? Do you think that he used the proper posture? Do you think that he used his voice like an actor? And he knew when to raise his voice and when to lower his voice. Did you know that he took that message and he read it? He just read it without any sort of acting. But we're concerned if the preacher preaches too long. Let's go back to the book of Nehemiah. For a quarter of the day, they read the scripture. For a quarter of the day, they prayed and confessed their sins. How about that? Well, it's almost 9:00. It is 9:00 now, so preacher, please stop. Yeah, yeah, I know. We're getting old. We're very inconvenienced by the preacher. He's going too long. My goodness, we had four today. How bad do you want revival? How bad do you want to see God's moving? Now, it has nothing to do, with the length or the gift of the preacher. If we hear God's word and believe it, believe God's word, accept it as God's word, that's whenever we're going to see movement. Let me give you one more example. Paul was preaching well into the night. Actually, the Bible says it was midnight. So, 3 more hours, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle your seatbelts, all right? 3 more hours. You thought I was almost done, all right? Judy's like, oh no, not again. And then, the little boy said, you're killing me. He fell out the window. I guess my preaching isn't that bad. I've never killed anybody by it. Yes, there you go. Now, I have seen Brian drop his Bible. I have seen him almost fall out of his seat. I have heard him and seen him go during the service, and we're both like, whoa.
Come on, man.
But if you had to listen to Polish for 2 hours, yeah, he's doing good. Judy's doing amazing. The boy dies. He goes down, falls upon him, raises him up. And you would think that that's the end of the story. Whoa, let's not do that again. Steve, what happened? He kept preaching until dawn. 6 more hours. Ever been in a service that went at least 9 hours? Ever heard one preacher? Magda's like, yeah, but you know, your attention span after 45 minutes, it's been scientifically proven. She's an intellectual. She studied law, whatever. After 45 minutes, and you hear these people all the time. I've heard the Bible say, quench not the spirit.
Amen.
I wonder if our problem isn't all of these other things. I wonder if it's just a matter of us not believing the word that's preached, and our excuses, our reason is, oh, the preacher, he's too long, or he's too boring, or he's too this, or he's too that. I don't know. Maybe it is my fault, maybe it is your fault. I don't know. Let God be the judge. The one thing I do know, and I want us to leave knowing this, winter is coming. You cannot avoid it. You cannot ignore it. Are you ready for winter? Are you ready to face winter? Amen.